This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Jenny Bowen, author of Wish You Happy Forever, What China's Orphans Taught Me About Moving Mountains. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Diana.
When and why did you go to China the first time?
I went to China the first time with my husband to adopt a little girl. Although 18 months before that, we didn't know we were going to be adopting a child. So it was a surprise trip, kind of.
18 months, is that about how long it takes?
That's how long it took then. Now, 7 years, 8 years to adopt a healthy baby girl, yeah.
What was it that you did that changed your daughter so dramatically from age 2 when you met her to age 3?
Well, let me back up a little bit. The reason that my husband and I went to China to adopt a child was because we were sitting in Los Angeles, where we lived. I was a filmmaker, a screenwriter, and we had a very comfortable life, not really thinking about adding to our family or about changing our lives in particular. And we saw an article in the New York Times with a photograph. And the photograph was about what were called dying rooms in China. And there was a little girl who was a picture of a child who was dying. And we learned for the first time that thousands of little girls were being given up in China simply because they were little girls. And that the conditions in the orphanages were pretty bad. My husband and I decided to adopt a child because we had a good life. We still had room in our hearts and love to give. And we decided to just try and save one child. What it turned out to be was that she kind of saved me. And because of our experience with her, we ended up transforming the lives of many hundreds of thousands of kids. She came to us pretty much with all of the ill effects of institutionalization, everything that's wrong with keeping kids in institutions and not giving them any attention. She was about 2. She was
very sick.
She was very sick. She had every kind of parasite. You know, she was like a walking zoo. Not a walking zoo. She couldn't walk. She had amoebic dysentery, bloody diarrhea. She was very developmentally delayed in every way. She couldn't walk. She had no language. The scariest thing, though, was that she was just emotionally vacant, like a little shell. And I couldn't reach her. I was an experienced mom, but there was just like no there. So when we came home from China, I just did what parents do instinctively. I just never let her out of my sight. I was in her face every waking minute. We had just finished shooting a film, moved the editing room to my house, and sat her on my lap for the 6 months it took to cut the movie, and just talked to her, played with her, sang to her. Her first words were dialogue from my movie.
That was great.
I was thrilled that she was saying anything, let alone dialogue from my movie. Didn't matter. And a year after that adoption, I looked out my kitchen window. It was something about seeing through the glass, because I was a filmmaker. I was used to looking at rectangles. It all just came into focus, and I saw this child romping around in the garden, so full of joy and looking like she had been adored from the moment she was born. And I knew why. I mean, it was a miracle that made absolute perfect sense. And I said to my husband, that's so easy. Why don't we just do that for all the kids we can't bring home?
And then what?
We did. I just decided that I was going to start an organization and somehow convince the Chinese government to let me come over there and start programs for children who are living in government orphanages. I knew there were hundreds of thousands of little girls in there that were hurting in the same way that my little girl was hurting, and I just figured out I would find a way to do it. I mean, I had no qualifications whatsoever. I couldn't speak Chinese, needless to say. I'd only been to China once before, and that was to adopt. I'd never thought about running a nonprofit organization. I certainly had never dealt with government bureaucrats. I knew very little about early childhood development except what parents know. But I had like one skill, and it's the one skill that has carried me these last 16 years and allowed Half the Sky to really transform child welfare in China. That one skill was, I was a storyteller, I was a screenwriter. I knew how to start with a blank piece of paper. I knew how to imagine a world that didn't exist and how to imagine an ending, a happy ending. I didn't know exactly how to get from the beginning to the ending, yeah. But, you know, screenwriters are not afraid, storytellers are not afraid of not knowing what the ending is. You just know you're going to figure out a way to get there. And that's the major skill that has taken me all this way. And it's kind of like I've been in film production for the last 16 years, and I just haven't gotten to the end of the movie yet. I'm still writing it.
Have you made a movie about?
No. No.
Might you?
No, I think my filmmaking days are over. No. I've written a book, though.
Yes, you have. You're the only Westerner working with the Chinese government on social reforms in orphanages, true?
That's true.
Why you? Why would China pay attention to an American?
Well,
about a potentially embarrassing situation.
I know. I understand what you're asking, and I often think, what would happen if, for example, a well-meaning Japanese mother came to the White House and said, "You're... foster care system is a mess. I have an idea about how to make..." Can you imagine? She'd be probably, you know, who knows?
Would they
never hear from her again? Well, wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know what you're saying. At the time that I came in 1999, there had been just tremendous international criticism about the care of orphans in the government welfare institutions. There had been a film called The Dying Rooms. And that was an undercover documentary that really did show the very worst side of the institutions. And there was a Human Rights Watch report called Death by Default, the Policy of Fatal Neglect in Chinese State-Run Orphanages. That was actually the report that had the photograph that started our whole journey. There had been so much criticism that, the Chinese had done what happens in Asian countries when face is lost. They say, "Thank you very much for your comments," smile, close the door. And no, by the time I got there, no foreigner could get inside the welfare institutions. But they knew they had to do something. I know they knew. There was so much criticism. None of the media that was criticizing was offering solutions. Nobody was coming forward and saying, "We'd like to help." So when I came, what I said was, "I am a mother of a beautiful Chinese daughter who wasn't in great shape when she came to me because she had not enough human contact. I watched my little girl blossom. I know how to bring that to the children in the welfare institutions. And we are so grateful, I and other adoptive parents who brought these beautiful children home. We want to give a gift back to the children who remain in the orphanages. And we want to partner with you. We want to work together. We think we know how to do this. I brought them all the research I had done. Give us a chance and let's see if we can give family-like care to children who've lost their families." And maybe just to get rid of me, because I was pretty persistent, they gave me a chance. After about a year of talking about it, they let me try a pilot program, a one-year pilot program, in two orphanages. What I did was I reached out to everybody I knew, and everybody who was a child development expert, development pediatricians, mostly in the U.S. Look how easy it is. And that's what I've been able to sell in China. And what I've learned is that the most basic human need, after food maybe, is to love and be loved. And if children have that, they will thrive. Not all children have tremendous potential. Not all children are going to be, you know, running corporations or whatever people with tremendous potential do. But every child is going to reach their potential if they know that somebody cares about them and they have somebody to love. It goes both ways. They need to connect with another human being that's there for them consistently. And we've seen it over and over again. I mean, it's not just China. What I've learned is if we could just make sure that every child in the world has one caring adult in their lives, every child in the world will grow up to be a caring human being. There's a Chinese philosopher, Mencius, who said, "All the children who are held and loved will know how to love others. Spread these virtues in the world. Nothing more need be done." That's my message.
Thank you. My guest is Jenny Bowen, author of Wish You Happy Forever, published by Harper One. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.